to function in the kingdom. We're understanding. The Lord is helping us understand how things happen. Because things are fixing to pick up really quick and really take off. And we really have to apply ourselves to time with God if you're going to make that curve. Lord told us several years ago, told Debbie, he said, you need to be in the car before I turn the corner. And so she tells me this, and we're down in Florida. We spoke at a Messianic congregation in Ormond Beach. And the rabbi and his wife and I and Debbie and some of their congregation went out and had dinner. And we had dinner, and then and he said, just follow me to my house. Now, Alyosha, Rob, and I don't, I'm really good about following people. You can't lose me. Okay? So we get in the car, and we take off, and it's like we come through this intersection, and there's several cars going on, and I just must have not been paying real good attention. Because I'm going down I-95 South, and he calls me on the phone. He said, hey, where are you at? I said, I'm following you. He said, you're not following me because I'm sitting in my living room. So I got about 10 miles out of the way. See, God had just spoken to us to watch and pay. Listen here. In this day and time, if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss what the Spirit of God is saying in the hour. You can't afford in this hour to miss what God is saying right now. Do not ride your glory day from yesterday. It will not carry you today. His mercies are new every morning. God woke me up this morning about 5 o'clock and I cried for an hour and a half. He was imparting what he wanted me to say this morning, this place. And I mean, it was intense. I just hope I could communicate. Hope I could articulate what he was saying in my spirit. He didn't use words. There's an impartation of his presence. You see, in this day and hour, you and I have not been this way before. And nobody knows how to get there but him. And you have got to be locked into him in this hour. If you're going to move into the deeper things of God, you're going to have to make time for God. If you're too busy to do that, you're in trouble. Because God in this season is making alignments. He's causing you to evaluate the important things in this hour. You know what? A lot of the church is choosing lesser things. The lesser things. Things that aren't really eternal. Can I just prophesy something over you just a minute? Many of you in this room are being prepared to lead many. If you'll apply yourself to the preparation, you're going to come to a deeper place of discipline ever walked in before. You know what? It's going to be painful until you make the shift. That's what God's doing right now. Some of you, including myself, have gone through a traumatic year and a half or two. And I wouldn't give anything for what's happened. And it was just all about going back dealing with generational stuff and dealing with stuff in my life. Many of you in this room are held back because of generational stuff. Generational baggage. And you're wondering why you can't achieve. You can't move forward. You really can't. Because you're dragging all this stuff with you. God wants to set you free from it. He wants to release. We've been talking about this in PCL training. You can catch a lot of this in the PCM sessions. 400 how many months? 10 months now?
Something like that.
About 10 months. God wants to set us free, see. It's going to be a pivotal next 2 years. Because you're not far from the tribulation period. The heavenly shall Mashiach in Hebrew. Not far. God is wanting to use this hour of time for you to do whatever else is needful in you to bring you forth in your calling and in your destiny. Will you respond? Many are called, but few are chosen. What do you think that's about? That's about if you apply yourself to what he's saying in the hour. That's where if you'll deny yourself, this is going to cost you. Do you hear me? It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some of your time, some of your comfort, some of your finances to move into this place that God's talking about. Can I be honest with you? Church has wasted decades. Decades that we were supposed to be preparing to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Wasted on what the church was doing. Wasted on circuses, bike giveaways, concerts that had nothing to do with God. Every kind of thing but Jesus. God in this hour is calling us to teshuvah, to repent and return. The message, listen to me, the message was a message of the prophets, all the prophets, it was a message of the prophets. Why? Because it was the heart of God for the people. Come back to me. Come back to me the way I tell you, not the way you decide to come. See, we like to reserve this little thing over here for ourselves. Well, you know what? I'll kind of do this and kind of do that, but don't ask me to give up this right here. No. We come His way. We come His definition of His way. Right there in the Word. Because if you don't come His way, you know what you do? You make a religiosity or a tradition. And it's dead works. And you just cannot believe the number of dead works that have been done in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. So God's preparing us in this day. We've got a couple of short years before the tribulation period. Somewhere around that. I'm not going to date it. I'm just going to tell you. It's the Spirit of God. We have to press in during this time. A lot of the church, Ricky talked about it last night. A lot of the church is falling away. It has no conception of what's happening. Because another gospel came in. All the way you won't be deceived, don't think we can't get deceived. It said, if even the very elect, if possible. You hear what I'm saying? Don't think the exception cannot take you. It can take you. It can take you. It doesn't come in and say, hey, I'm deception. Yo, I am deception. I'm here. Get on the train. Creeps in. From your spirit whispers something to you. You start to think on it. It grows. Makes a tree. You think that was you. You think it's not a big deal. Thank you. How do you know the counterfeit? By knowing the real. See, we can't play with this relationship with God thing. You know what God's looking for? Intimacy. He does not want you to be connected to Him because you need things, you want things. You want Him to give you a word. You just want to live a nominal Christian life. That's not what it's about. Nominal Christian, I'm telling you, in the tribulation period, nominal Christian life will not make it. Because some of us, we need to get over this, this thing about martyrdom. Listen, the first century saints were martyred and they were giving glory to God. They weren't all shook up in this and everything. You know, I made my stand. I'm standing for God. I'm going all the way. In just a second, I'll be in glory, just like you said last night. First century believers, night and day from today. Today, oh, I didn't sign up for that. Oh, no, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't know you had to die. This is serious. We're playing by big boy rules. And you're coming, the closer you get to that period, the more intense it gets. I've had people say, well, you know, when that starts happening, I'll get close to God. Can I tell you, when that starts happening, you won't be able to do that. Can I tell you the level of chaos that will be happening in that 7 years will be so intense. If you haven't taken the time with God now, if you haven't dealt with sin in your life, if you haven't dealt with these things that are holding you back, generational things, there's a long list. It's longer than my arm. We don't have time to talk about that this morning. If you haven't dealt with that stuff, you're going to suck right in. Sucked right in. Because the level of chaos going on in that time is going to be like a hurricane. Especially to your senses. Especially to your emotions. Only thing that you are going to be anchored by is Yeshua the Messiah and your relationship with His Father through His Holy Spirit. That's where you're going to be anchored. And see, in that day and time, you must have the Shalom of God on you. Because if you don't, you'll lose your mind. Somebody say something. I'm serious. This thing, you cannot believe what period of time you're about to go into in a few short years. Listen to what Yeshua said about it. Matthew 24. He said, it's the worst time the earth has ever known or ever shall know. He ought to know. He saw it before the beginning of the foundation of the world. We can't treat it lightly is what I'm trying to say to you. I love you. I'm telling you the truth. I love every one of you. And I want you to know what the Lord is saying in this hour. Because it's just like a number of years ago, my daughter Amelia, about 8 years ago now, she was running from God. And the Lord told me, He said, you need to have her come. And I got a word for her. I called her and I said, Amelia, I need you to come see me. She said, Dad, I don't have a lot of time. I said, you need to come see me. And she said, well, I only got about 15 minutes. I said, we're going to stay home. I said, because the Lord gave me a word for you, and it was a picture for you to understand, and I am not going to limit God to 15 minutes. I'm sorry. Not in a church, not in a witnessing, not in a bringing a prophetic word. You're going to time me, I'm out of here. Gone. So, she finally came. I said, Amelia, I saw an angel. There was this highway. I saw this angel with this huge billboard. Angel was huge. Angel was like, you know these billboards out of the interstates? The big old tall thing with the huge billboard. This angel standing there holding one of those. This guy's like three or four stories tall, standing there holding a billboard. Bridge is out. Bridge is out. My daughter, she's coming down this road. She's running about 90 miles an hour down this road. And there's signs down. There's all these signs down, you know, at the lower level where your car is. Bridge is out. Angel standing there holding this huge billboard. Bridge is out. And I'm telling her this. And I looked her right in the eyes and I said, I want to tell you something. The bridge really is out. You better turn around. You better slow down and turn around. Her life was going in the wrong direction. And the Lord told me, he said, now here's what I want you to tell her. If you don't turn around, it's going to take 14 years for you to come out of this mess. Well, she didn't listen. And it immediately started happening. It wasn't a week. Bam! Lost a job. She had a prison guard job. She was making more than she'd ever made in her life. Lost a job. Bam. Right behind that, lost a baby. Bam. Right behind that, got put in a drug treatment program. Bam. Then lost another child to her ex-husband. Bam. I'm talking about bam, 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 bam. Just like that. So the days we're living in, we don't have time. We don't have time to play with God. We've got to get serious with the Lord. We've got to be with Him daily. We've got to see the importance of that. You've got to see the value of taking the time with the Lord to develop this intimacy that God is needing you to do. Because the church is rejecting that message. But you know what? Word tells us that the latter rain is greater than the former. So we've got great things to look forward to in God. But we have to press into Him. You want to be like Yeshua. Because they were talking to Yeshua about what was about to happen, and he said, he has nothing. Who was he talking about? Hasatan, Satan. He has nothing in me. There was no darkness in Yeshua at all. He was all light. That's what God's after in you and I. He's after the darkness to get it out. So it doesn't trip us up coming into the period of time that we're shortly coming into. He wants to get rid of all that darkness. There'll be no darkness in you. But you have to apply yourself. You have to come and do what He's doing in this hour. You know, it says the Lord's eyes go to and fro in all the earth.
Yes.
Looking for a heart that's wholly His. It'll be set apart to Him. You know what it's really about? It's really about having the heart of the Father. It's really about what's on His heart, what He wants us to do in this hour, what He has need of. Like Nita talked about, Ricky talked about, it's about carrying His burden. Carry His burden and then release it. Carry it and then release it back to Him. In this hour, that's what He's needing. You intercessors are carrying the presence of the Lord. Well, for you, the church should be in big trouble. Big trouble. I just want you to see something before we move on into this next part here that Debbie's going to come up and help me with. Ezekiel, Ezekiel 9:4. Listen to this. Jehovah Adonai said to them, go throughout the city, through all of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the forehead of men who are sighing and crying over all the disgusting practices that are being committed in it. You know what I think? I think it's not just about Jerusalem. Even though He's speaking directly in this passage to Jerusalem, we'll borrow it and we'll put it back when we're done. He's looking for a people that their hearts are moved by the sin going on in your area, in your town, in your city, in your state. I know you are because you pray with us. But see, we need the whole body of Messiah to come into this. We need them to transition. You transition, that's why you're going to help them transition. You're going to have to teach them how to come. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. You're going to teach them how to come. You know what Yeshua says in the Gospels? He says, "Will I even find faith on the earth when I come?" Oh my God. Seriously. Will I find faith in the earth when I come? You don't believe it's going to get bad? There's your statement right there from the Messiah himself. Will I even find faith when I come? Come, Lord, and help us.
Yes, Lord.
Turn with me to Yeshayahu, Isaiah 40. We're in a season of great transition. We really have to prepare ourselves. The way you prepare is you get with God. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, there are no shortcuts. No shortcuts. Isaiah 43 through 5, I want you to hear it. Because some of you are sitting here today, and you're wondering, what is going on with me? It's just right here. It's a supernatural thing. Listen to it. And you're going to say, I don't see that. Well, you will in a minute. A voice announces in the desert, the Arabah, clear a path for Jehovah. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our Elohim. Every valley will be raised, and every mountain and hill made low. And the crooked will be made straight, and the mountain peaks a plain. And the glory of Jehovah will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. That's what's going on with you right now. God is coming into your life, and He's dealing with the other areas of your life. He's making the crooked places straight. And the places where you're high and heady and high-minded in things and you're stubborn in things, guess what? He's bringing that down. He's bringing it down. The places in you that are low and you're not walking where you should be walking according to what God's done in you and your call and your destiny, He's raising that up. He's preparing the way for the Lord. Listen, it happened in Yeshua's day, getting ready to happen again in this day.
Right.
Because we're going to talk about in just a second what's going to be released out of Malachi in this day and time. Preparing the way for the Lord. Some of you have been going through some really intense times in this last year and a half, 2 years. Some of you more than that. I know, because I know a bunch of you, and we've talked about a lot of this. So this is no secret. But God is coming, and He's doing this work in you. He's making alignments in you that need to be made. He's causing you to rethink some of the things that you thought before. He's even moved you from where you were to where you needed to be. And some of you are still in places that you need to be moved from.
Right.
If you're sitting under somebody that's not teaching truth, get out of the house.
That's right.
Get out of there. It's dangerous. This is not a plaything. God's moving in this hour, and He's straightening out the things that are crooked. You know, one of the things I've gone through in this past year is generational stuff. Went through some generational deliverances. The Lord did it all. I didn't go to anybody. The Lord did it all. But that's what can happen when you get in that place with God so that He can do what He needs to do. It doesn't mean you don't need some help sometimes. It doesn't mean you don't need, you know, a push here and there and certain anointings in certain places to help things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's between you and God. I'm talking about it's where you're submitting yourself to what He has need of.
Amen. Right.
You know, I found out that I had a problem with generational anger. Couldn't figure out what that was about. But I went through this thing with God. And He's been working it out. But it's generational. I was angry too because of things that happened in my life. But some of it was in the womb and some of it was right after the womb. And if people don't believe that that can happen, I got news for you. It did. It has in some of you. Maybe a lot of you. So don't reconsider. Ask the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. I'm just showing you an area too. But God came, and He showed me some of the root of that. He began to get my attention and wanted me to let Him do what He had to do. And it was painful. Some of it was very painful. I went through a lot of hours of crying before the Lord. A lot of time. I took my time with the Lord. I said, God, I'm a mess. Been a pastor 34 years and carried that banner all that time. God's done great things in those years. But He's more concerned about getting you fixed than He has anything else you're going to do. Because then you'll be able to move forth in power and anointing, and you'll be able to carry the kingdom. Help carry the kingdom as a congregation, as the people of the Lord. This is that hour. This is that hour where He's straightening things. He's aligning and refining. Ricky's been teaching a lot on over the staff call and also Thursday nights about the refining. It's a year of refining. It absolutely is a year of refining. You're going to have to rethink some things that you've been thinking. God wants to change wrong perceptions. You know, can I be honest with you? We got some ungodly beliefs, folks. What is an ungodly belief? It's something that does not line up with how God sees it. Oh, well, that's not really that bad. It's not really. It's an ungodly belief. And it's keeping you from something He wants to do. That's another thing. You know, this year, what we've gone through. We've gone through the love of the Father. We've gone through sonship. We've gone through ungodly beliefs. We've gone through inner vows,
judgments.
That's another thing. When God starts talking to you about this, He's going to lay your heart open. He's going to start bringing things up. If you'll pay attention to the Holy Spirit, He's going to start bringing stuff up, and you're going to start repenting. And you're really going to apply yourself to this if you want to get through this. And if you want to be, listen, He's doing it because He's preparing you for the message of the kingdom so that you can walk in your destiny. So that you can walk in your calling.
That's right.
You know what I want? God wrote before the foundation of the world. He wrote on a scroll what Ken Clark would do. I want to fulfill that.
That's right.
Not because I want to do it. Because that's His heart. If He wrote that thing down, that was His heart. I want to fulfill that. I don't want to get tripped up. I don't want any darkness to trip me up. I don't want to fall in some deception. You know what the most miserable place is? That you don't fulfill your calling. It's the most miserable place. You know, most people, they start off right. But they don't finish well. Everything you've gone through, everything that you have gone through is preparing you for the days ahead. Everything. got to see it that way. You got to ask God to show you. I want you to start with Malachi. I want you to see that in this day and time, we're going to shift a little bit here. That was the introduction. We're going to shift here. I want you to see what God is doing in this hour. Because God is bringing His love and His fatherhood anointing. We see it on Trump, amen? You see it on Trump. You notice how Trump goes to Korea, to the Korean leader, and Kim Jong-un, and he's patting him on the shoulder. It's like, son, if you'll just understand a few things, it's going to work out. I'm serious. You see that? You see it on the news. Trudeau comes down. He's all negative Trump, anti-Trump. He comes down. They have this conference and everything, and he's all mouth and everything. So he goes back. All of a sudden, he changes stuff in their parliament that Trump was saying. If you don't believe fatherhood anointing is real, watch that thing flow. Watch it just be released. And so the Lord is doing that in this hour. He's going to do it over His body first. And then, He's doing it over Trump. He's doing it over His Cyrus. And He's releasing it also in the secular realm. But it's really for the church, for the most part. Because you know what the Word says? It says, we have a lot of trainers. We have a lot of teachers, but we have few fathers. Few fathers. A father is someone that has the heart of the Father. And that's what we need in this hour. Why don't you go ahead?
You know, it's really important that we understand and really come to grips with the fact that you are here in this time period, at this point in history, for a purpose.
That's right. Not by chance.
You know, as Ken said, God wrote on your scroll. And He knew you were going to be here at this point in time. He knew what we were going to be facing at this point in time. And He put you here. And many of us have not come to grips with our destiny. If He put you here, your destiny is here.
Some haven't received it.
And you need to be seeking the Lord. You know, we are intercessors. And this was, I think, touched on kind of last night. The Lord told me a good while back, He said, let me ask you a question. How many in here ever told the Lord, I want to be just like you? Anybody ever told the Lord, I want to be like you? You know what He told me years ago? He said, the very first time, you ever said to me, I want to be like you, that marked you as an intercessor.
Right.
He said, because that's who I am and that's what I do.
That's right. That's good.
It's the truth. You know, this morning in staff prayer, Ray was praying. And he made a statement as he was praying. And he was talking about this week, the Lord correcting the foundation of several generations. Do you remember saying that this morning? When he said it, I wrote it down. I thought, that's it. That's it.
Let me just say something right there while you're there. About a year or a year and a half ago, I was sitting at my desk, and the Lord said to me, He said, you are the deliverer of your generations. What? You are the deliverer of your generations. I said, God, what are you saying? He was trying to tell us that He's given us the opportunity to straighten out things that have happened all the way down our family line before us. Not only that it won't go this way, but everything before us is corrected. Can you imagine that? Can you see I can see the blood of Jesus doing this. I can see the blood of Jesus going all the way down your family line and every wrong because you came in identificational repentance. Because you came and dealt with that, it broke that curse off of your line. You know, it says goes to third and fourth generation. Well, if that generation did it, it just keeps multiplying. Sexual sins, 10 generations. Serious stuff.
But after Ray said that statement, I heard the words, foundational reset.
Thank you.
You know, he had given me a word a while back. He said, I'm preparing your spirit to soar.
Yes.
That's all that stuff that Ken was saying we're dragging. It's got to go. How can your spirit soar if you've got all this stuff on you? You know, it's got to go.
That's right.
It's got to go. And, you know, even, and I'm going to get to Malachi.
No,
give me
fine.
One second. Even in Hebrews, you know, in Hebrews 11, where it's talking about Abraham and Sarah, and it said, and they were looking for a homeland. Do y'all remember that?
That's right.
Some translations call that a fatherland, because that's what people call our nation. They call it our homeland. They call it their fatherland. You know, and I read that one day, and I thought, fatherland, well, land of the Father. That's where I want to live, in the land of the Father. You know, and the Lord is unlocking. Do you know in your lives the Lord had ordained generational blessings that were supposed to be coming in operation in you right now? And they got all blocked up and locked up. And in this season, the Lord is wanting to unlock those generational blessings.
That's part of what you're going to do as you're going through this process of letting the Lord show you those things. When those things are broken, those generational blessings are going to flow.
Okay, so let's look at Malachi. If you are in a Hebraic Bible, then it's going to be Malachi 3, 23, and 24.
But if you're
in the non-Hebraic Bible, then it'll be Malachi chapter 4. I'll give you a few minutes to get there.
4 verses 5 and 6.
And then we'll go from there to the new covenant. You know, Malachi is the last prophetic book in the old covenant. And it's amazing to me that this last word that's spoken in this last prophetic book in the old covenant, when we get over to the new covenant, the Lord picks right back up with that message. Bam. Okay, so chapter 4, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. I was studying the Hebrew background of those words. And it said one translation, it wasn't a translation, it was a commentary, a Hebraic commentary. And it said that the Son of Righteousness is a metaphor for a brand new day. It is a metaphor for a change of historic era. Now, I know, you know, it's talking about our Lord there, but it's also a metaphor for, and that's what we're in. So, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, said the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he, here's the verse we want to talk about, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And I know Nita could expound on that. She writes about it in the Melchizedek book, if you haven't read that, where she's talking actually about the fatherhood anointing. I encourage you to go and get the full depth of that from her. But what the Lord showed me when I was looking at this, and I said, why? Why Elijah? You know, is Elijah the one that needed to come? And I started asking the Lord this. And so he told me to go ahead and go over to the New Covenant and read. So let's go to Luke. And I said a while ago that the last prophetic book was Malachi, and then when you get over into the New Covenant, the Lord picks right back up with the message of what he said in Luke 1, 16 and 17. And here we have the angel Gabriel, and he is speaking to Zacharias, and he's prophetically telling him about his son. We are in verses 16 and 17. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make, now listen to why, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Satan's still preparing the way for
Isn't
the Lord.
That what he's doing? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now let's listen to what our Lord said. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. And we're going to go to verses 9 through 12. And this was at the Mount of Transfiguration. And the disciples were all excited about what they had seen. They were coming down the mountain. And the disciples happened to ask him the same question I ask him. Why Elijah? You know. So here's what the Lord said. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things that they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, see here, and they asked him, saying, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And here's the answer. The Lord answered. Then he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. How many things are all things?
All things.
He's coming to restore all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? So here we see he's restoring all things. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17, verses 9 through 11.
Okay. You know, in Acts 3:21, it tells us that we're in the time of the culmination of all things. And if they were in the first century in Acts when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was poured out, how much more in this season of time right before Yeshua comes back?
Okay, so this is the same scenario, okay? We're at the Mount of Transfiguration. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. In the Amplified Bible, it says, will prepare a people perfectly prepared. That's who we want to be, perfectly prepared. And just... okay, I'm going now to Galatians 4, because how do we get there? And this was something that the Lord showed me in the wording. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, the legalism part, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. No, I didn't mean that legalism part. I'm sorry. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Chapter verse 6. And behold, you, and because you are sons, God has sent forth. This is the verse I want you to really get. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know, why didn't he say Holy Spirit there? He said, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son. And I asked the Lord that. He said, because it takes, Yeshua was the perfect Son.
That's right.
And watching his life, studying his life, the Lord is calling us to be fathers and mothers to the people of the revival who are coming in.
That's right.
But first we have to learn how to be a son. So he sends us the Spirit of his Son to teach us how to be a son.
I want you to turn with me to Romans 8. Verses 22 and 23. We're not going to be much longer, so bear with me. Thank you, God. Believe God wants to do something through this. How many want to be changed from where you are right now? You're not happy where you are right now in the sense of where you are spiritually. I'd be shocked if more hands didn't go up. 8:22 and 23. Romans 8:22 and 23. Can I just tell you that the whole world is being affected by the darkness that's gone on. And it's crying out for the sons of God to come. But you gotta be made, all of us, it's mankind, but it's sonship. And it's like us guys, you know, when you talk about the bride of Christ, we get a little shaky, you know. Because we're not thinking about a wedding dress. It's the same difference. It's sonship. And God's, the whole earth is inundating. Undulating, I mean. From what's going on. And it, the whole earth is literally crying out for you and I to arise. Part of our problem is we lost our identity. We don't know who we are. I mean, some of us do. I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the church. Church doesn't know who it is. The church that we have right now will have a hard time standing against the gates of hell. Let me just say that. But the church that the Lord is talking about in that passage is a vibrant heart sold out to the Father. Totally given to the Lord. Where nothing will override that or come against that gate. But here we are. Listen to this. We know that all creation groans together and travails together until now. Not only that, but also those of us who have the first fruits of the Spirit, then we are sighing ourselves diligently and patiently, awaiting adoption and the redemption of the body. Here we are. God, come. God, come change us. Come do in us what you need to do. Come. But see, God's doing his part. See, God sent the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and he's called you. He said, Shuvah, repent and return. Come back. come back. A lot of the body right now is in the place of the prodigal. And the Father's still calling them back. I still love you. I want you to come back to me. I want to be able to restore you. Just come. Just come. It's a cry of the heart of the Father in this hour. Come. Come back to me. Return back to me. Come back. Like I said, it's about our identity. See, in this hour, it's not enough to understand with our head. Our spirit has to get a hold of this. Because it's going to release the greatest restoration the church has ever seen. And it's going to bring the maturity of the body. See, when this Yovel revival, this Jubilee revival is released in the earth in fullness, the body is going to mature just like that. It's going to go straight up. But see, it's going to take the preparation of allowing the Lord to do what He needs to do. But see, in that day, it's going to happen way faster. See, it took me 42 years. And that day, it's going to happen in a year, 2 years. See, a lot of leadership in the body is going to get really jealous in the spirit of time. Spirit of jealousy is going to come down in a lot of the body. Why? Because that man took all those years to get where he's at, and all of a sudden in a year or two, God's going to do that kind of thing in a young person or whatever, and they're going to come to maturity in 1 or 2 years. And I mean, and they're going to have the heart of the Lord. What about the church leaders that didn't have the heart of the Lord? What do you think they're going to do? Can I tell you, they're going to be the Pharisees. They're going to be the Zadokim that are not really Zadokim. The righteous that are not really the righteous, just the righteous in looks, not the righteous in heart. So God, in this hour, here's what He's doing. He's extending, receive this, He's extending the heart of the Father to you, to me. And He wants us to respond as sons. And He's proven that right here in Malachi when He said, before the day of the Lord, before the Hevel Shel Mashiach, I will come and I will send Eliyahu, Elijah, and He will restore. It's an anointing to restore the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. What is the most important relationship besides your father or son relationship? It's our relationship with Him. You hear that? He's really saying something here. I hope you're getting this. In the Spirit, He's really saying, I'm extending to you the heart of the Father. I want you to have my heart, because I'm going to teach you how to be a son. So when I came up in ministry 34 years ago, I didn't have great leaders in the beginning. I got to sit under some after a while, one of them sitting right here. But I went a lot of years where God had to train me because there was no one there to train me. And God spoke a lot of things to me, and I learned to hear His voice during that time. Did a lot of things in me He would have never done had I been in the siblings of God and come that way. You hear what I'm saying? Because in 1985, they would have told me, hey, you don't belong here. They'll find you a synagogue somewhere or something. You know? Because why? God was telling me stuff that the church wasn't even walking in. I'm like, God, what are you doing this? I knew it was true. And He built upon that. Oh my God. But see, we do have fathers now in this season. I hope that you go to a church where that pastor is a father or a mother. I hope you do. It's real important in this hour. And if you don't, the Father Himself will do what needs to be done in you. This is the hour. This is the hour that he's releasing this to you. You have to see this. You must see the value of this. If you don't see the value of what I'm talking about right now, you miss it. And we're not in a time that we can miss things, because time is getting shorter and shorter. We don't want to lose the opportunity. You know, one of the things about the first century and the Jewish people, my people, and Yeshua talks about it in Matthew 24, 23. They miss the day of their visitation. The Spirit of God is doing things in the earth right now that have never been done before. We have to see the value of that. See the value of your heart. Your heart extended as a father. Teach us how to walk as sons. God, you sent your son Yeshua, who was a perfect example. You know what it said? He had to come and walk as a man, just as you and I. He learned obedience, Hebrews, through what he suffered. You see, if Yeshua had not come the way he did, born of a woman, you know what would happen in Judgment Day? Yom Kippur, year right before year 8,000, the end of the 7,000 years. At the Great White Throne Judgments on Yom Kippur, by the way. They would have been standing there sticking their finger in God's face saying, "You don't. Yeshua came and he lived among us just as you and I." He said he was tempted with everything you and I, common to man, everything you and I are tempted with, Yeshua was tempted with. But he sinned not. This is the day. This is the day of preparation. Pleading with you. From the heart of the Father, I'm pleading with you. Take this seriously. See the call, see the need. You might be sitting here right now and you say, "I don't know what you're talking about." That's okay. You can ask him. He'll tell you. He'll come to you. He wants to bring you up really quick. Why? Because we've wasted a lot of time. And we're guilty of that. Let's just go ahead and say it. We're really guilty of that. Things that we should have understood, should have done, we didn't do. But in this hour, God is needing you to come in. Let me see if there was one other thing here. He wants to make you mothers and fathers, because you will help prepare people for their destinies if you're walking in that place that God needs for you to be walking in. We lead a lot of people, not just here, but in phone calls and our ministry. We speak into their lives what God gives us. And we father them. We father a lot of you guys in a lot of ways. We talk to you on phone. We teach you on PCL training times. We see you at GOEs. We pray for you. Because we love you. I want you personally. I want you to fulfill your call. The thing about a pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, their heart is to see the people come to their place in God in this hour. And it breaks a heart You know why it breaks a heart? Because it breaks his heart. It breaks his heart that things are not moving into the place they should be moving. That's why, folks, that's why we've got to have travail in your time with God. Travail in this place. Tears. I don't know what happened this morning at 5 o'clock. And I'm telling you, I was undone. I was all two pieces. I don't have a clue what he said. But I'm telling you, it was released right here today. Because that was his will for this session. God, I ask that you come right now, Lord. God, release your heart. The heart of the Father, God, release it, Lord, to your people, to your sons, to your daughters. Come, God, we need you like we have never needed you before, Lord. We need you in this hour like we've never needed you before, Lord. We want to come to that place of maturity. We want to come to that place of you, God, break our hearts over our condition, God. Break our hearts, Lord, over our conditions, Lord. Oh, God, we would see the need for you. The need for the time, the need for the intimacy. The need in the sense of being able to fulfill what you created us to do. You were created, every one of you, were created for this hour. You weren't born in the first century or in the 1500s. You were born now. Your call, your destiny was needed for now. God, shake everything that can be shaken in us, in the church, in the earth. God, so that those things that are right and upright before you, righteous before you, will remain. God, we need to be broken. We need to be broken, God. Come and do it to the core. Come and do it, Lord. We need to press into this. This is a serious message. You need to press into it. You need to press into what the Spirit of God is speaking right now. You don't want to lose this time. You don't want to lose this opportunity. This was not by chance. Honest to God, I had no idea what I was going to say today, even though I had thought about some of those concepts. I had no idea what I was going to say. I don't come and say, I'm going to say this, that, and the other. I go to God and I say, you know what, I lay myself down before you. Whatever you want to do, I just try to submit to that. Just come and do it. He even changed what I had on my notes here. God, come and help us press into this in this hour right now. Right now, your Holy Spirit, Lord, is flowing over your people right now. Flowing over your people, Lord, causing your people to see. Lord, right now, thoughts are being changed. Things are being changed, Lord, in your people so that they will go away from this time and it won't, listen here, it won't just dissipate. Because the Spirit of God is saying this and is planting this thing in you. God, I ask, Lord, the seeds that you have spoken in this hour, not what I said, not what Debbie said, what the Spirit of God said, the seeds, God, that you planted, Lord, God, let it bear much fruit for your kingdom, God. And waken hearts, Lord, to what you're saying in this hour. And God, let it be contagious. Let it be contagious, not just on these. But Lord, the ones that they come in contact with. When you go back to your prayer cells, let it be contagious. Let it flow off of you. This fatherhood anointing that's being released here. Let it flow off of you. Sonship off of you. Onto your people. So that they can work through this with God. Because it's about us coming in submission with the Father. So that He can do everything that needs to be done in us. Come and do it, God. Will you humble yourself? Will you go low? Let's just pray in spirit. God's wanting to do a lot more than is going on here right now. Come on, let's pray in the spirit. Tiku de ku ne kala, ino shevu nim, bechu ne kahalod, beshu ne kahala, avinu our Father, come Lord, in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Liyo te ku ne kala, hasim tavakod, hiyalamayim. Oh, Shivere! Oh, Kekananananabekim! Break your people, Lord! Break your people with the things, God, that have been set in place, Lord, that are not what you're doing in this hour. Oh, God, that it would not be a hindrance to what you're doing and saying in this message. And the thing being released and what you're doing in this time, in this hour, by the Spirit. God, remove every distraction. Hito katsod emelekayim hayod hayod bakuna hivelo anim. God, come. Come. Hinehuba, come Lord. Hinehuba, come. Hilohanim Shavakod. Oh God. God calls us to come to the place of repentance for resisting you. For resisting you. God, you've been calling us to this place for such a long time. And God, we resisted you. We resisted you because of something we wanted, because something that it was going to cost us. God, come. Cause conviction of your spirit to fall in this place. It's even about teaching us how to respond to revival. Come, God. But you know the Holy Spirit's ready to be poured out. But you know what? A lot of people can't receive it. Come, God. Come, Lord. Wash over us like a river. Dislodge things that have kept us from you. Dislodge. Here's your one. Dislodge the comfort that we live and walk in. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to get up at 5 or 4 or whatever it is. Take that time with God. But we don't know when to go to bed for one thing. We don't want to get up. This is a day in the hour. If you're going to be changed, you're going to be changed by the living God. You're going to do what it takes to come to that place. He's done His part. It's time for you and I to do our part. And I'm not saying that you haven't been doing that. I'm saying God is asking for a deeper consecration than where you're walking right now. And I want to tell you, prophets will tell you that every day of the week. Because they want to see you come to your place, but they know if you're not going to put in the time, if you're not going to come and develop that relationship, you're not going there. That's just plain and simple. God, we need you to come. God, make a way in the people of God where there is no way. Come, God. Come. Open those everlasting doors that the King of Glory can come in our heart, in our lives. Come and do it, God. Come and do it. To den akishala da da kutse menetek. Heven akahalod. Emelakashim da kuado. Heven elekasite de. Sikere da bokoto do da kim. Sikere da bokote de bashi. Sheloha. Listen to me just a minute. The Lord said, if you'll come away from here with this thing and not let go of it, you'll be changed when you go back. And it will not dissipate. It will not dissipate. If you'll take hold of this thing and not let go of it, you're going to go. Let me tell you how it happens with the Lord. I want you to understand this because I want you to be able to move into this. When a man of God or woman of God gives a word, listen to me. It's just your introduction to what God wants to say through them. Did you hear me? It's just the introduction of what God wants to say to you. If you leave that meeting or you leave those meetings, and you don't go and get before God and visit God on those things, it dissipates. It dissipates. It goes away. You lost it. Ever woke up in the morning, you had a dream, and you didn't write it down? What, about 3 minutes later, 5 minutes later, dissipates. When that happens to me, I say, oh my God, I know that was important. God, please. I couldn't get it all down. Please, God, give me that revelation. Bring that back to me. Because I know when He's speaking, it's important. I want to get it down. Well, if you'll hold on to this thing, this message of what the Father's doing in this hour, and not let it go, it will grow for you. And it will bear fruit in your life. But when you hear the word of the Lord coming from whoever it comes from, you have to go away from that time and you have to get with God. And you have to say, Abi, Father, help me understand. Unpack this for me. What Pastor Ken, Nita, whoever it was, said. Help unpack that for me so I can get the eternal revelation that I can walk in. Head knowledge, can I just tell you? Head knowledge is worthless for the kingdom, for eternity. It's worthless. I sat under one of the greatest messianic teachers of our day for 10 years. And at that time, I thought it was about knowledge. Boy, he filled me up. Filled me up. And I even had to go to the Lord and I say, God, what is this worth? God said, it's worth some stuff, but I need to show you how that works out in me. Not just the knowledge. It's got to convert from here to here. You see? You know, we were talking about just the other night. I'm going to stop. We were talking about the other night, brazen altar. And when the sacrifice was laid on the brazen altar, what was the last part of the animal to fall through the grate? The head. That's very prophetic, folks. Because it's talking about our stinking thinking. It's talking about our pride, our heavy high-mindedness, It's worthless. It's worthless to God. It's worthless to the kingdom. So, Father, I ask that you would take the seeds that were planted here today, God, and that you would remind your people, and they wouldn't go home and just dissipate, but God, they would go and get with you and talk to you about it. It would be a concept that you would work through with them, Lord, so they can come to greater maturity in this area. God, we want to be mature sons and daughters. You want to be mature sons and daughters? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Help us to let your Spirit do what it wants to do today. Help us to let Him break down our walls of self-revelation so that we can really and truly see our hearts and the things you need to do. Us to open the gates of our own heart, Lord, that the King of Glory may come in. We pray that you will open the gates, pull down the walls, pull down the strongholds. Free us from the pride, the self-righteousness that keeps us bound. How we need to hate our pride. We need to fear it. We need to love you above ourselves. Want your ways rather than our ways. Lord, it's so painful to see how our ways have been so hurtful to other people. But what a freedom when we experience your forgiveness and the forgiveness of those whom we've hurt. It's the beginning of getting rid of the self-righteousness that you hate so much. God is doing surgery. He really is doing surgery. Lord, heal the wounds that we have that have been impeding our heart from inadequate authority figures or even cruel authority figures, especially the fathers. How are we able to draw near to you, Father, if we have anger in our hearts toward our earthly fathers? Help us to give that to you. come in and heal the wounds of absentee fathers, of cruel fathers, of abusive fathers, sexually abusive fathers.